Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Hey there, foodie fans, and welcome back to another episode of Foodie Films. Of course, this is your host, your chef de cinema cuisine, Kyle Reinfried. What's going on? What's happening? How are ya? Can you believe it? We're like halfway through the summer already. I don't know how your summer's going. I hope it's going great. Mine's going great, and it's going to get even better because, well, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, Wednesday, July 17th, only a few days from now, on the 21st, we'll be heading to Europe. Yes, I know I've mentioned it before, but I am excited. I visited Europe for the first time about 4 years ago, and now this is going to be my fifth trip, right? Yeah, first one, second one, Ireland, Copenhagen, sixth time. But I'm going to a couple of cities that I haven't been since that first time 4 years ago, so I'm very excited. So I'm going to land on the 22nd in Barcelona. I can't honestly say when I was there the last time I met anyone that says the city like that. I don't know if that's a very stereotypical way of someone to say Barcelona, but I am excited because it was one of my favorite cities. I did like a crazy trip. I did four and a half weeks and then like 14, 15 cities, you know, 2 or 3 days in each city. And Spain was by far my favorite country. I visited that trip and I did Barcelona, Sevilla, Madrid. I really loved Barcelona. I love being by the water, so that was cool, and it was really cool to learn that all the beaches there were man-made because of the Olympics. Like, Barcelona wasn't in the greatest shape in the 80s, and then whenever they had the Olympics in the 90s, I guess maybe 92, because 96, if I recall correctly, was Atlanta. So, nonetheless, really cool city. I can't wait to go to, what is it called, the Mercado de la Boqueria. It's just an amazing, it's indoor, but it's very open feeling, just an amazing market where you can buy fresh produce, but then they also have a lot of cooked food as well, and oh my god, I call myself and my friends call me the ham, el jamón. I am so, I can't wait till I can get my hands on some jamón ibérico. It's going to be amazing. And so from there, then I head to San Sebastian, a place I've never been to in Spain before, so I'm very excited because, like I said, I love Spain, so I love exploring Spain. And San Sebastian is in even more north. The most north I've been is Barcelona, so this is cool. I'm going even more north, and I'm going, it's the Basque region, and it, like, borders France, and then San Sebastian is, once you pass, like, the border of France and Spain, you get to the Atlantic Ocean. So that's cool. I'm going to Spain on the Atlantic Ocean versus, like, the Mediterranean. And they're known for, you know, Spanish, they're known for their tapas, but up there it's called pinchos. It's something that Brian Rodriguez, host of High School Slumber Party, has taught me, and I have had some pinchos style, you know, restaurants in New York before, but to actually go to San Sebastian and experience that, very excited. And from there, I fly to Lisbon, and just the other day, I recorded an episode with João, I hope I'm saying his name right, João Sapita, who runs all of the timeout marketplaces across the world. And now there's one in the original one in Lisbon, Miami, New York, Boston, Chicago's about to open, so that's five, and they're opening like three or four more within the next year or two. And he was an amazing guest, but that's not who I'm talking with today. This episode, I actually think that there's a bit of a time stamp to it because they mentioned Mother's Day, so we recorded this like 2 months ago. But you know how it is, I released the movie episodes, and I just recently released two movie episodes in a row, but that's just because I really wanted to release Sausage Party on the 4th of July, because how do you not talk about Sausage Party on the 4th of July? Hope you checked out that episode and enjoyed it. But this one, I am talking with Benjamin of Benjamin Steakhouse and Chef Arturo, the head chef of all of these Benjamin Steakhouses. We talk about all six locations. I should have asked them more about the fish, because I don't know if you guys have realized a theme. It's not an intentional theme by any means, but every one of my first cut episodes have been with very meat-centric people, and I love meat, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just kind of interesting that he clearly mentions like the Seafire Grill, Benjamin, that is there, that's one of their six locations, and they have a seafood restaurant, and I really didn't get into seafood with them. We talk steak. These guys love steak. They love American steakhouses. This is their bread and butter, no food pun intended. So I mean, without any further ado, here is Benjamin and Arturo. I hope you enjoy this as much as I did. Oh, this is the place that I posted some pictures after this. We talk about the porterhouse, and Benjamin goes, "Well, now you have to have it." And I've had the porterhouse, a nice couple glasses of Cabernet, the creamless cream spinach, and then their home fries. And it was arguably the best meal of my life. Everyone should really go to a Benjamin Steakhouse. We recorded the one in Benjamin Prime, as we say. I don't know why I'm yammering on. My mouth is starting to water. So maybe I'm gonna head to Benjamin Steakhouse right now. If not, once I get back from Europe, I'm going back there. So here we go. Benjamin, Arturo, and me talking steak. Ben, Chef Arturo, thank you so much for having me here. It really means a lot. And by here, I mean Benjamin's Steakhouse Prime.
Correct.
Let's just get into it and talk about, I mean, you've got what, five locations
We have
now?
six altogether.
Six
So
altogether.
we have four in New York and we have two in Japan.
Four in New York and two in Japan. I was just, okay, wow. As far as your, I've got both of you here, your relationship, where did it all start? Both of you were working at Peter Luger's, and
Correct.
how did that relationship just kind of form? Were you working together and just talking on breaks, and how did this all come to be?
That's exactly what it is. So I started working at Peter Luger's. I was one of the youngest waiters there, and first few weeks, I thought, dude, I need some help because I'm young and I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. And I said, no problem, as long as you do the right thing with customers, I'm here to help you. And slowly we start becoming friends. I used to smoke before, and all the breaks we used to go out and smoke together. That was our time that we used to catch up, and we started a conversation. I told Arturo, I found a place on 41st, which is our first Benjamin Steakhouse, and I said, would you ever be interested in, moving forward? Because he was there for a long time. He was there for 25 years,
Wow.
so it was kind of hard to leave. That was his home for a very long time. So I said,
What was it? So you're working at Peter Luger's for 25 years?
Yes, about that.
Was that your first job in the food service industry, or what? Yeah.
Oh no, I worked at a place called Gage and Talner before that.
Okay, in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, exactly,
Yeah.
exactly, exactly. Yes. And I worked there for about 11 years.
Wow, okay.
11 years. Yes. As a matter of fact, they're reopening.
Oh, they are.
They are reopening Gage and Talner now.
They are?
Yes, they are. Yes.
That's crazy.
I just read it the other day. I'm going through my phone and it popped up.
Are you gonna go check it out?
I have to.
For sure.
Yes.
That so
but
I'm sorry, continue. If you're...
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That intrigues me because both of you guys, so you were working at two previous steakhouses. What made you go, steakhouse, like as far as your career and your career as well, Ben?
I know, I loved it, you know, because I used to work at some other restaurant before, and once I, you know, I got to a steakhouse team, it just, you know, the energy is different, everything is different, people enjoy it, everything is simple. Now, if you work into a restaurant or French, everything is so complicated and there's so much stuff going on. You work in a steakhouse, everything is simple, people love meat, great wine list, you know, simple appetizers, and I think, I thought, and I spoke to her too, I said, this is a great concept, I think we should move to the city and do it better.
I like that. What was it? I mean, step going from Brooklyn to Manhattan, because you know Manhattan, as we, you know,
it was, you know, it's a little different because, but we also understood, you know, it's going to be different. That's why the menu, once we designed it together, we made it so we'll fit well on New York City clientele. Mm.
Was there anything specific from Peter Luger's that you took with you, chef, just as far as the knowledge you learned there, or even just a certain dish or a style that you were cooking things?
Yes, well, basically, like Benjamin said, we wanted to create similar to Luger, but up it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Up it on a different scale, like a few of the soups that they don't have, we have, you know? We have the lobster bisque, the German soup, the onion soup. They don't have that, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of different stuff that our menu have that took us above Luger, you know?
Yeah, well, just walking in here, I mean, I'm not hating on Peter Luger's.
No, we're not.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you, but I'm not speaking for Benjamin, but we could never, I don't think so, I could never hate on Peter Luger.
Yeah.
I think that's what we hear.
Sure.
Correct, correct.
You know?
Correct.
I mean, he saw this concept, wish I was a worker. He saw it from the get-go, he saw it. Boom, is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And like you said, 4-2. You know, 6 restaurants. 12 years after, 6 restaurants.
Yeah, that's really impressive. So, your first steakhouse you opened in 2006.
Correct.
And that's the one on 41st.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm.
And then we are at Prime, which is on 40th.
Yeah.
And then you have one in Westchester.
Westchester. And we have Seafire Grill, which is mostly fish restaurant, but we also have most of our steaks are there too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
And then, as you said, 2 in Japan.
Yeah,
correct. I'm going to Japan, not this summer, next summer, so maybe I'll have to
check it out. Definitely go there.
How do you find, how are you two involved in the expansion and as far as making sure that the quality is staying the same, just the ambiance, like that's a big thing, again, compared to like Peter Luger's has that almost like beer hall, you know, vibe to it in here. It, you know, it's a very classy environment. We're sitting in a private dining room right now and a lovely wall of wine behind us. And so, yeah, how do you keep just that, or do you want things to be a little different for a different experience? How does that all work?
I mean, we are, you know, very much involved with Arturo, you know, basically in the kitchen that we open, he starts, he gets the staff trained, everything else has to be to the standards that we are aimed for it. I mean, we still go every week, we pick up our meat on Pat LaFreda, so we handpick all our beef. Arturo goes there every week with his crew and picks up, make sure all our beef it's handpicked and it's the best, it's out there. And we also go through the clientele. For example, Prime is a little bit more modern than 41st. 41st is our original store.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reason we open next to each other is because we don't have any private rooms next door. And we have a lot of requests for private rooms, especially Midtown, there's a lot of corporate events. So that's why here we have like 6 private rooms. And we always was so busy and always had to turn people away. So now we can accommodate everybody and also... We don't have to rush our clients anymore because before it was like an hour and 45 minutes, just the speed dial. Otherwise, you couldn't accommodate any more people. So it was getting to a point that people were overflowed every night. So it's like, you know what? You know, these people are gonna go somewhere anyway. So let's just open a place next door.
Why not?
So we can feed our new restaurant. And you know, this is our third year, and will be for holiday season. It's thank God things are going great. They're both full every day. They're both doing awesome. So we are all happy camps.
That's excellent. And chef, what is it as far as finding a staff and making sure, you know, you, since you can't be present at mm-hmm. all these other restaurants, what goes into that?
Goes into that. Just, I mean, let them know that we have the best quality of everything, produce, from the meat. We got the best quality. So in order for that, they have to make them understand that whatever we do can't be mediocre. It got to be top level. Customers are coming here for top level. There's a sure. reason why they come to us. There's a reason why. So I try to understand that when I think it's good, you have to also see my vision. Because if you don't, we are not on the same page.
Of course, yeah.
We are not on the same page, you know? Oh, no, this is like this. It's too light. It's too heavy. It's too salty. It needs more. And believe it or not, we play with our food. We have to. We have to get the taste of ourselves. The guys on the line got to get their taste. Once they get their taste, I remember when we first opened, we was there 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
When the business started picking up.
Wow. Yeah.
Business started picking up. The guy them got the concept exactly what we wanted. And they did it. They did it to the par, yes?
Correct.
Benjamin 100%. Said, you know what? I'm going to take Sunday off. You're going to take Saturday off.
Okay.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guys them started getting better. You got Saturday, Sunday. I take Sunday, Monday. And up to this day, I mean, that's just training. You got to be.
Training is very important. Huh? Very important is training.
You have to.
And then what we do is we see people that they want to grow with us. And if they are like a good, great, like in a line cooks, we slowly mm-hmm. make them to sous chefs and to chefs. Mm-hmm. So they have his vision mm-hmm. so they can mm-hmm. follow his directions. And like he says, you know, you just need to understand what we want. And this is what we look for people. And, you know, a lot of people there for, you know, they stay with us for a long time because, first of all, we treat them properly. Second of all, we want them to do well with us and they, you know, they want to grow the company. That's
yeah, good. Yeah, promote from within.
Correct.
You work hard, it pays off. And that's definitely something also I want to talk about. Working hard and just where you guys, your roots, where were both of you born?
I was born in Panama.
Panama?
Panama, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I was born in Montenegro. I'm Albanian from Montenegro, okay. But I was born in Montenegro. So then we are from two different parts of the world and we met at Pirulugas and here we are.
Yeah, that's a great, I don't know if you want to label it a great American story, that's just a great story in general. I mean, as two immigrants, what do you think that means we're not going to get into politics or anything like that, but the world that we're living in, what does that mean, just your story and your success, as far as inspiration to others?
I mean, I think if you want to do it, this is the place to still do it. I love this country, and this is the country that gave me all the opportunity, opened all my doors. But you have to work hard. I think people don't understand is you come here and you don't work, you're not going to, you know, be successful. When I first came here, I didn't know anything. I finished my last year of high school. I went to college. I was working full time. For 5 years, maybe my average sleep was like 25 hours a week.
Wow.
So I never slept. But, you know, I worked really hard, so did Arturo. And people come here, they want to expect everything that's going to just throw to your plate. I mean, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. If you work hard and if you work smart and if you're surrounded by good people, I think, you know, your doors can open.
That's what Benjamin said. I mean, I came to this country when I was 13 years old. And
to New York, or
to New York? Yes, to New York. My mother was in this country. So, at 15, when I was 15, my father passed away, and it was a different ballgame for me because right now I have my older sister, my younger sister, and myself and my mother. I came to this country in 1967, 69. My father passed away. You know, so it was a different ballgame for me. It was mm-hmm. all about looking out for mom than my two older and younger sister. You know, and like Benjamin said, I work hard. I started working when I was 14 in a grocery store making $25 a week.
Wow. Yeah.
Going to high school and coming from high school, do homework, and go to the grocery store around the corner. You know? And that's what it takes. I saw my future just turning after my father passed away. It was a different ballgame for me. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Did either of you have family members that worked in food service or just were obviously just loved to cook in general?
I mean, he's more a cooking master. He does he does most of the cooking. I'm more from the house. You know, okay. I deal more from the house. He's the master of cooking. You know? He does all the all the back of the house. That's his credit. I don't want to take his credit. So he's the master of cooking.
And I love it.
So
I love it. You know, you have to have it in you. You have to have that feeling. I think that's the way I felt. You know.
Sure.
And to me, it was like an escape after I got into the kitchen. You know, the young man at Gage and Tandler, I was like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm making $225 a week. What is, you know, back then.
Yeah.
You know, I was, and I, it was something in me from my mother, from growing up with my mother in this country. My mother cooked, she loved cooking, and I was always next to her. And I thought that, I think that's where I liked it.
Yeah.
You know, I got into it so much, you know. I don't know if you ever heard, I mentioned Brooklyn before. You heard of Downstate Medical Center?
No.
It's across from Kings County.
Okay.
You know Kings County Hospital?
Yes, I'm aware, yeah.
Okay, Downstate Medical Center. And I saw it in the kitchen, yeah, the kitchen aid.
Okay.
And I just used to watch the guy then cook for the whole entire building.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, really got into me, you know. As a young man, going to Wingate High School. And Winthrop, and Wingate High School is about two blocks from Downstate Medical Center. My mother had a friend that used to work there. And my mother, I mean, she's trying to support three kids. So I got a part-time for him after school. So that's what she did. She got me in. And I saw them guys and working in big kettles, this big kettle cooking. So
yeah.
I felt something, you know. And I think that's why I stayed with it for many years, over 40-something years, you know.
That's great that you found something you were just so passionate about.
I never liked school, that's why.
neither did I.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think I lucked out. You know, I'll be honest with you, I think I lucked out. Because, I mean, I found something I liked doing, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and especially when I got into the city. I got into the city because everything was Brooklyn. I got into the city, and then Benjamin said, listen, go to the dining room, see the people. And after you see the expression on a person leaving after they finish eating,
yeah,
that is like, wow, look at this. They enjoyed what came out of the kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever came out of it, they enjoyed, because you could see it on their face. They're smiling, they're laughing.
It's great. It's something that a lot of, you know, creators don't get to experience per se is, and for both of you that you've created, you know, you're creating the food, creating the atmosphere in this warm place for people to come in and have a good time, you know, obviously with hospitality, and that, you know, you're creating it, but then you get to see people's expressions, as you're saying. That's got to be, actually, just Saturday, two friends got engaged and they came here.
Oh,
and celebrated.
Awesome.
So, awesome. And they had a lovely time. They came with like their both of their parents, and then we all met at a Irish pub right around the corner, like all the
awesome.
Like a big, you know, group of us. But that's what you guys are creating here is, you know, they'll remember that dinner forever, and that's something really special. So, but yes, as far as I've watched a few videos on the restaurant, and I feel like you really stressed, you know, making people feel welcome and the hospitality. So if you'd like to expand upon that, just what you're creating here.
I mean, that's our game. Make sure we speak to all the managers, all the staff on a daily basis, and make sure every person that walks in the door feels very special and welcome. Besides the food and ambience, they also need that personal touch that people are creating, because you can go anywhere you like in the city. There's a lot of good restaurants, there's a lot of good scenes, but you want to go back where you feel welcome, where you feel taken care of, and people remember you, they remember your chair, your table, your wine, mm-hmm. your friends. So that's what we're trying to create, because a lot of steakhouses, chains, they do everything's properly, everything's done by the book, but you're only a number there.
Was there a certain time that was reinforced to you as being something that you really wanted to create? As you said, you were a waiter. Was it even before then, or was it while working at Peter Luger's that you, you know, just wanted to expand upon that? Like, when did that become like, this is important, this is a must?
I mean, I learned a lot of Peter Luger's too, because, you know, they did have a big scene in there. They did have a lot of followers, people that used to come there on daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, after a year. So, you know, Luger's has a lot of followings for the same reason. So I said, you know, this is content that it's working. So once you go to the city, you'll do the same thing, because you want to people, you know, once they come back, you want to know their name, mm-hmm. why they're here, who sent them, did they enjoy their dinner. When they come back, you want to make sure they know them again. So this is the rule that we actually do for each restaurant, to make sure that all our clients are being taken care of and they are being recognized.
Mm-hmm. Is there any point that you guys are just sick of eating steak, or is there
no, really, you know, I can eat every day. I have no problem. I mean, I eat at least 3-4 times a week.
Yeah,
you know, my doctor said you're still okay, you can still enjoy the steak. Hey. So knock on wood, you know, Arturo probably eats every day in the kitchen. So
it's something for you to go into a walk-in box or an aging box.
Yeah,
there's a smell that you get, you know, that smell is like, like an aroma is less like, this is beef. This is aged beef.
Yes.
And when you smell it, I mean, how could you go wrong? How could you not enjoy that? You know, because it's like, I mean, I've been smelling it for so many years, and it's like, this is what it is.
It just stays better. It just stays better and better.
You know?
It stays better and better.
Yeah, let's talk about the, you know, the aging. Let's talk about that process, because, so I mean, we're talking because I've met Pat LaFrieda and he put me in contact, so thank you, Pat. and you said that you guys visit the facility and you pick out the meat, and while they do dry aging there, you guys do dry aging.
We do our own. We're doing a White Plains location. Everything goes there.
Okay.
Because we have a big facility there. It's, you know, it's a huge basement downstairs, about 5,000 square feet. So we age all meat there for all the restaurants. So Arturo goes, picks up all the meat on a weekly basis. You know, we ship it to White Plains, and it ships there. You know, it stays there for at least 4 weeks, minimum 4 weeks. Sometimes goes to 5 and 6 weeks, depends on the circulation of the beef.
Is there a certain, with the aging process, do you prefer a certain amount of weeks, or do you serve different, aged beef?
We prefer 4 weeks minimum. 4 weeks minimum. I think it makes a big difference. I mean, because me and Tua, we tried most of the time. If it's a little younger, we just try to see if it's different, and it is different. I tell you why. This weekend, actually, for Mother's Day, my plans, usually I take my mom and my wife and everybody, we go to the restaurant and celebrate, but it was so busy. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even have space. So I told him, you know what, I'm going to cook for you.
Okay. Wow.
So,
how'd that go?
Went pretty well.
Okay.
Went pretty well. So,
are you calling up Arturo and just being...
No, I didn't bother him. I said, I thought you enjoy it. You know, I'm gonna do my own thing this time. But I got some beef that it was 45 days aged.
Okay.
So I went to the butcher downstairs. We picked our beef, and it was awesome. Everybody loved it. Loved it. Yeah. I was like, I hope I'm not going to screw this up, because I'm going to hear another year. Yeah. But I pulled it out. It was delicious. It was, honestly, it was like, everybody was like, where'd you get this beef? I was like, I picked the best for you guys. Yeah. this is the best. So it is, you know, it does make a difference, honestly.
Oh my gosh.
It does make a difference.
As far as the difference, what goes into then cooking dry age versus your average, you know, steak that you'll purchase?
Flavor-wise, it's much better. The texture, I mean, the marbling of the dry age. And then if you go and get a steak at the butcher and you put the knife in it, this bad boy gonna bleed out.
Yeah.
Our steak, you cut it and it's nice, soft, juicy. You could take a butter knife and just... cut it.
Correct.
That's why we, like Benjamin said, we are not going to do 2-3 weeks. We're going to do 4 weeks. At 4 weeks, it's perfect. You can't, I mean, Benjamin just tried one for 5 weeks. But 4 weeks for us is just perfect, you know? It's like butter.
Yeah.
It's like butter, and it cooks nice, charred, not burnt, you know?
Yeah.
Considering the other stuff, you know, on the grocery store.
Of course, yeah. So when you're going to, let's say, the Lafrida facility, what are you looking for from those cuts? And I mean, and then also what, how many different kind of cuts do you guys serve here?
We serve everything the cow has.
Okay.
No, we serve what? We serve the ribeye,
Yeah.
serve the New York strip, the king is
The king is
the porterhouse.
The porterhouse.
We serve the porterhouse, and what you look for marbling, you look for nice big eye of steak, the big sirloin port, you look for the nice tenderloin, you know, because that's it has that nice tenderloin and a nice eye, and the sirloin port, you know. We don't look for, I mean, when you see all them vein, we push them aside, try to get some that don't have all that vein in there, you know. And basically just the marbling and the pocket of fat,
yeah,
and the steak, and that's what makes it nice, tender, and juicy. That's how we age it.
What is your favorite item on the menu?
He just said it.
He just said it, yeah.
He just said porterhouse is the way to go, man. I mean, they're all great, honestly,
yeah,
but
yeah.
if you want the best of the best, you have to go for porterhouse.
Yeah, I think I saw it maybe in one of the videos, or when I read an article about you, about Benjamin Steakhouse. Is the porterhouse for two is a very
correct.
Is a very popular dish.
Correct, yeah.
That's good.
So
you have the sirloin port, and then you have the fillet port, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what makes it, to me, that's what makes it the best. You know, you don't have to, we got all the sirloin, then got all the fillet, you just have it both together, combined.
And it's aged, you know? Properly, so.
Yes.
Outside of the steakhouse, do you like to go out and eat, or are you just when you're home and you want to, or, you know, how does that work? What other food do you like to eat? I'm not, you know, you don't have to give me specific places, but, yeah, do you find yourselves going out to eat?
I mean, we try. The problem is, like, once you're in a restaurant business for 5 days or 6 days, you know, if you have a day off or two, it's like, you just don't really want to go.
Sure.
And you just want to take your time, relax. But I love seafood. He loves seafood too. So,
oh my God!
So, I was gonna say that. So we love, you know, we both love seafood. First, like a couple years ago, I couldn't eat oysters, and like slowly showed me, like, you know, you gotta put some this and that, and then no,
I love oysters.
No, we both do.
Yeah.
So we have some time, sit down. We have a couple of oysters, clams, you know, and a couple of beers, a glass of wine, and we enjoy it. But everything like. I love simple food. He loves simple food. Whatever is simple and fresh, that's what I mean. I love that. That's why we also have Sea Fire Grill, so we love fish as well. But, you know, occasionally we go to different restaurants. Depends, you know, what occasion is, or family, or but anywhere that you go and you enjoy the food, you appreciate it. Because you go to some restaurants and, you know, everything is mediocre, and like, it's okay. They could have done a better job for A and B and C reason, but, you know, you just stand there and, you know, you don't say anything.
Yeah, we do that a lot.
Yeah.
We do that a lot because we're in the business.
But we don't complain. We never complain.
No, we don't, but I'm on our family. We say, like, why is this like this? Why is this like this? Because we know the difference, you know? We know the difference.
Do you have a favorite oyster spot? I'm always looking for I like Upstate, which is down in the Lower East Side. Mm-hmm. But I love the culture of oysters, and obviously Long Island being like one of the. I mean, well, the fact this used to be called the Big Oyster before it was called the Big Apple. So we're getting oysters kind of coming back. But
the Big Oyster.
Is there anything from both of your, you know, being Panama and Montenegro? As far as those dishes, are there any that you're just every once in a while thinking about and that you'll cook for yourselves? Or I'm just curious as far as that.
I mean, as far as Albanian food, my mom cooks for me. So.
Okay. mom's.
That's one thing that, you know, she actually, once me and Tuta had a pleasure to eat together her food a while ago when we first started Benjamin's, you know, we went to buy some stuff in Restaurant Depot, and we stopped by, so, like, you know, She told her, you know what, today I'm going to cook for you guys.
She sure did. It was very good.
She had a nice meal.
Nice
so,
meal, yes.
She does cook
way
for me.
Way back then, Benjamin. That's a long time, man.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
12 and a half years ago.
Yes.
So, but, you know, Arturo cooks, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, I like my rice and peas from back home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't go wrong, rice and peas and... Rice and peas. I love my rice and peas. And what we have a dish from back home that we call arroz con pollo.
Mm-hmm.
That's rice and chicken, you know? Yep. But it's completely different, you know? And every now and then I make that for my family.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Obviously, have a very popular establishment. Are there any cases, you know, it's called Foodie Films, and we talk film for a little bit. Have you had any celebrity encounters or just, you know, I mean, as far as that realm of serving to certain clients?
I mean, we do. We have a lot of celebrities follow us, especially at Benjamin's Steakhouse next door. I mean, Bill Murphy is a regular. He's there every month.
Bill Murray? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, nice. he's a funny character. Comes all the time. Just shows up. Ben, I need to do it for 3 hours. Please give me the time. It's like, it's good to have you, but you know, sometimes it gets busy. I mean, we got from Kim Kardashian to major sports figures. We have Mario Lopez is there, and Time is in New York. He's actually a friend of mine. We have John Cena. He comes all the time. It's a lot of. I mean, we are pretty popular spot for as far as celebrity goes on. There's a huge list, but I can't even remember. So, but they you know, they come all the time.
Let's say this never came to be. Could you see yourselves doing anything else other than what you're doing here?
No way. This is my dream, is my life. I love it. I look forward to every day coming to work. I love this business. You know, I finished my college for, you know, finance and accounting. I could never stay in office and crunch numbers, but this is my favorite thing, and I will never change my career.
How about you, Chef?
Come September 10th, I'll be 65 years old.
Congratulations.
And I'm still doing this, and I'll be doing this till Benjamin said, here we go. Out of here. I mean, this is it. This is, like I said, this is enjoyable. I like what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I love what I do.
Yeah.
Especially now. Back then, I was on the line, you know? Yeah. Benjamin gave me a break. Now, listen. This is what you do. Make sure everything goes right, and you know.
I told him it's enough, you know? On our side. He says, no,
you know,
let him work. We just watch and make sure everything's fine. You know, you do that. It's okay. You know, you did your part, and especially when we open Prime, like it's a brand new kitchen. The AC, everything is controllable. So like now we can do this 100%. To your liking, so.
And that's why you see. I mean, if you used to watch me one day in the kitchen, a bit back in the day when I used to train the guys, I'm, listen, this has to be this way. And I mean, this has to be this way. And this is it's not my way, but it's the right way. Don't think of it being my way. Think of it being the right way. And once I got that concept, I mean, I'm here now. You might be doing. Customers that are coming in, they know exactly what to do.
As far as Japan goes, when did the first one open up, and what made you go? I mean, you know, you've got your New York and you've got your Westchester. Now we're going to the other side of the world.
That's a very interesting question. I mean, we had a friend of ours and client. His name is Tamio Nagayoka. He's been coming to Benjamin's from day one. Always tell me, oh, you should open Japan, you should open Japan. I said, I know, but how am I open Japan? It's 14 hours away. It's very hard. But say, I'll find the right partner. And said, if you find the right partner, and we'll all agree to keep Benjamin's safe and the brand is secure, I have no problem. So he finally found the right partner in Japan. We have a great, you know, he's a great guy. He owns a lot of restaurants in Japan. He understands hospitality. So we opened our first location, will be almost 3 years now, in the summer in Tokyo. And we opened our second location in Kyoto 4 months ago. So he wants to expand more, but this is a, like a partnership with the guy that we have there. So he's doing awesome. We ship all our beef to Japan. It's all U.S. beef.
Okay. Yeah.
So basically, you get the same experience you get in New York, you can get in Tokyo or in Kyoto.
Was there any specific reason that you preferred that versus obviously the Japanese are very, famous for their beef as well, so you just wanted to create the same.
But they love. I mean, we also have a huge, huge clientele base that they come to our restaurant, but probably 25 to 30% it's actually Japanese
Wow.
clientele. So it's a huge base, and they always tell, please open one in Tokyo because we'd love to have you there. And they love American beef for one reason, especially our aged beef, because it's not as heavy as Japanese Kobe. I mean, if you eat this like small pieces, you're gonna feel very, very heavy. So if you eat American beef, they love because you don't feel the same way.
Sure.
Which is, I mean, Japanese beef, it's amazing too, but they love the way we do our beef, and they love everything American. So
How often do you find yourselves going over to Japan?
maybe go a few times a year, but thankfully, like I said, we have a great partner, and he does his thing right, and we don't have to go too often. So, but we communicate in weekly, and daily, and monthly basis, like over emails and phone calls and conference to make sure everything is going well. But so far, it's going great.
Being obviously in New York for so long, what changes have you seen in the city in general and both in the, food service industry?
I mean, one thing, unfortunately, as food service, things are getting tougher with all minimum wage and all things that are hitting hospitality business. I think that's very wrong because slowly things are gonna change, and it's gonna make even harder every day to open restaurants. And clientele base has changed. I mean, people, especially with social media, everything, the whole concept for the last 12 years has changed. The way we were doing business 12 years ago, the way we do business now, it's completely a different, different story. But the way things change, we also change and adapt to the market, because that's the only way you're gonna succeed and stay in business. So you don't want to ignore any changes. You want to
Yeah.
basically get to know them and flow with it.
How about you, Chef, moving here in the late 60s and just seeing, just change over time, but again, both in the city and, in the food.
Like I said, I used to be in Brooklyn. I mean, once I came to the city, it was much, much different. I mean, the pace of everything was like you said, everything is just like, to me, everything just expanded more in the city for me. Coming from, I don't know if you ever heard of Crown Heights, Brooklyn. I grew up in Crown Heights, Brooklyn when I came to this country. And even before I got to the city, I moved to Staten Island. And to me, Staten Island was like paradise. Coming from Crown Heights, Brooklyn,
Yeah.
going to Staten Island, okay? And then when I got to the city, because I never worked in the city, I mean, I go come to 42nd Street and just visit the city.
Sure.
But actually coming to the city 5 days a week was a big difference. I mean, big, big difference. Big, big difference.
Do you guys ever find yourselves going into the other boroughs, and do you ever think about expanding there, or are you just very, very much,
I mean, for now, we're gonna stick to the city.
Yeah.
But we'll see whatever the things change. We'll figure it out. I mean, if you have like small concepts, you can go in like different boroughs. But I think this scale, this type, it's very hard. It's very hard to go in other boroughs because you basically don't have your lunch business. It's mostly weekend business, and it's not easy to operate this kind of high-end restaurants in other boroughs.
You mentioned obviously like with social media now, and obviously when cooking a dish, I mean, has anything ch has any just even a thought or has anything changed as far as presentation? Because everyone's very, taking out their phones and taking pictures. I mean, has anything changed as far as presentation or
I mean, steak is a steak.
steak? Yeah,
We
exactly.
have
Yeah.
our own concept. People come because of the quality of food and the way we cook it. But because, you know, sometimes you go to steakhouse and there's so many sauces, there's so many stuff, and but you really want that piece of beef. You know, that's the key. You know, you want your potatoes, your steak. That, I mean, salads, appetizers, you can always fix them a bit, make them look better. But as far as the steaks, it's we haven't changed a thing for the last 12 years.
Pretty straightforward.
Yes.
Pretty straightforward. And as you took out your phone, I mean, sometimes the steaks are coming to the table and they hear that sizzle, especially if you are Japanese or Chinese, and the first thing they want to do is Well, they feel good when they hear that sizzle coming out from the kitchen for some reason, you know? And we try to stick with that, you know?
Yeah.
At all times, our steak has to be sizzling at all time, you know?
Have you guys ever thought of entering the, you know, because well, I work in video production. That's, you know, my main source of income. And I think what, I mean, I love food in general between my mother and my grandmother. And then just even growing up, I worked at a deli, and that the owner of that deli grew up, his father owned a steakhouse in Paramus, New Jersey, where they used to have like Cab Calloway and Dizzy Gillespie play, you know, jazz there all the time. And so I've always been around food, but I think what also really entices me to it is that it is similar to a production, and it's a team sport. Have you guys ever thought, especially with your Netflixes and your Amazon, ever showcasing, you know, your establishments and your food in the video format, like as a show possibly or anything like that?
I mean, we have few options with people always approach us, but you know, it has to make sense as far as you know marketing and all that part of that part of the world. But we open for ideas.
Yeah,
you know, we always open for ideas. So,
how about you, Chef? Do you have any aspiration of being on camera and, you know?
We did a few things back in the days, no?
Yeah.
We did a few we did a few TV shows.
Oh, cool.
Yes, we did. I mean, we did a few.
Yeah, of course.
We did. We got on a few networks. We did.
Oh, that's awesome.
We got on a few channels. So Channel 7, Channel 5.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, of course.
We did a few things. Did a few things back in the days.
Yeah.
We did.
We have a little last segment. It's called Gut Instincts, and so it's not, I call it a speed around, but I'm not clocking you guys or anything like that. It's just pretty much whatever answer comes to mind first. And so I'm just going to ask you a few questions, and then just for, well, I mean, whoever, you know, thinks of something first can speak first, but do you even eat, or what's your favorite fast food?
Shake Shack.
Shake Shack.
Yes.
Burger King,
yeah.
I love Burger King. Me and my kids love Burger King. Because they love it.
Go to alcoholic beverage.
Wine.
So, yeah, I don't know if you ever heard of Guinness Stout.
Guinness Stout, yeah.
Guinness Stout.
I've been to the Guinness Brewery. It's an amazing spot.
Yes.
Favorite childhood snack?
That's a good question.
Twinkies,
there we go.
Chocolate,
just okay, a good, yeah. Are we a Hershey, a Nestle, or
Hershey?
Hershey?
Yes, yeah. You gotta be Hershey's. Yes.
Sweet or savory? I think I know the answer.
Sweet.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow. These guys I'm with, owners and an executive chef of a steak, you know, restaurant, and they're saying they're sweet. That's an inside scoop right there.
That is.
We've said chocolate and a Twinkie, but is there anything like a sweet in general that you're just like, oh, you know, like a dessert or something that you really think of?
Up to Mason, that's some delicious desserts. We try it together.
Yeah, like it was just the apple strudel.
Apple strudel. A la mode or just pure strudel?
I gotta be a la mode.
Yeah.
Gotta be a la mode.
Pecan pie, a la mode.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Well, we're in New York City, so let's say, besides New York City, what's your favorite food city?
New Orleans?
It's my favorite.
I mean, for some reason, I've been there so many times that I love Dallas.
Dallas,
Yes, I love, it's like, it's a media town of, I mean, you could get some ribs in Dallas that are unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So,
yeah, first tech. I, huh? Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
It's unbelievable, and I cannot have. I mean, I keep going back and back. I go to Texas for 1 week, and I'm eating ribs for 2-3 days. You know? Because it's so. I mean, it's humongous and it's delicious.
Have you ever been to a place called the Pecan Lodge?
The Pecan Lodge.
Yeah. It's a really good spot in Dallas.
I mean, he's going to put in his list.
Yeah. Yes. And in New Orleans, my favorite place is a restaurant called Giacomo's. Yes. That's amazing. Those are two. Austin was the first Texas city I'd been to. And while they've got great barbecue there, I mean, just the craft beer scene in Dallas is amazing. And then just, yeah, the barbecue, the ribs there. Yes, yeah, yes. The beef ribs that they have there.
Yes, yes, yes. The humongous menu, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh my God. It's delicious.
Next time we go together.
Yes, yes.
Favorite cuisine?
Steakhouse.
I told you, over 40 years.
Yeah. Steakhouse. All right, steakhouse, yeah. You know? American Steakhouse.
American Steakhouse, absolutely.
Yes.
Any follow-up as far as, besides steakhouse, what would be any...
Italian. I love Italian food. I worked previously in Italian foods, Italian restaurants. I love Italian. After steakhouse, I can go for Italian.
Yeah. And for you, chef, any?
I also do the Italian. I like the Italian food because my wife loves Italian food. You know,
okay.
So
yeah.
I think sometimes she's Italian, so I go for it also. You know.
Guilty pleasure food.
What's it called? Cats. The one in the. Downtown, they gave you those like a rib sandwich and stuff.
The Cat's Delicatessen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The corned beef and pastrami.
Yeah, yeah. that's my guilty. I mean, I go there sometimes, but after you eat that, you feel you want to blow. But yeah, that's my.
Have you ever seen When Harry Met Sally by any chance?
No.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's a movie that they need to. They have a very famous scene at Katz's Delicatessen. I'll remind you. I gotta
take a look.
How about you, chef? A guilty pleasure food? Do we have one?
Guilty pleasure food. I mean, it's not. I don't know if it's guilty or not, but I love rice. It just don't love me.
No.
I love rice. Any kind of. And just give me rice. With anything, I'll eat rice. I mean, like I mentioned to you before, rice and peas.
Yeah.
Arroz con pollo, rice and peas. I just love rice. Well, don't love me back in the day. I mean, I can't do it no more, but I love my rice. I love my chicken, you know.
Favorite condiment?
Any other?
Nice and simple. Makes everything taste good. Salt.
Salt. There you go, yeah.
I mean, I could say paprika. I could say thyme. I could say rose. I mean, but it's... Without the salt.
Correct. Salt and olive oil.
All right, we got a couple of salty guys.
Yeah.
Without salt,
that's true. That's the same thing.
There's nothing. Why eat? If you can't sprinkle a little salt in it, you know?
Very true.
You know?
What's the last thing you ate?
Today?
Yeah.
Chicken.
Chicken.
Yeah. Grilled chicken.
You want to know?
Yeah, please.
I've been feeling bad with the stomach, right? So I didn't want to eat nothing nobody cooked. So I went downstairs, got me 2 slices of bacon, chopped it up in cubes, got me a carrot, chopped it up in cube, got me some white beans.
Uh-huh.
I sauteed that. I put some chicken broth in it, some onions, and that was my meal. 2 bowls of that. I have some for tomorrow.
Wow, there you go.
2 bowls of that was delicious. Some bacon, carrots, onion, saute that bad boy, put some chicken stock on it. Delicious.
Regular bacon or that Canadian bacon you guys?
Our bacon.
That inch thick. I was watching that video my mouth was watering earlier. Yeah.
I'm not lying to you, that's what I had.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
2 bowls of it. 2 bowls.
There you go. 2 bowls.
Didn't want to have nothing, because I mean, it was. So, no, that's all I'm having. Just a little broth. Mm-hmm. Just a little broth.
What would be your last meal?
Honestly, steak.
Steak.
For sure. You know, if somebody tells you it's your last meal on earth, amazing steak and great bottle of wine, I'll be the happy camp.
All
right. Benjamin says steak, but I'm going to have a steak, but I'm going to have a ribeye.
Okay.
I'm going to have a ribeye. That'd be my last meat, a ribeye.
Nice.
A ribeye, yes.
Yes. We kind of answered this already, but do you prefer to dine in or dine out?
Dine in.
I made a nice Mother's Day dinner for my girlfriend and my mother-in-law.
Yeah?
Sunday, yes, I did, yes.
What'd you make?
I really enjoyed it. I made, I went to the store. I didn't want to bother Benjamin. Someone got me some two nice pieces of Angus beef. Two nice, I mean, was like this thick. I'm not lying to you, but this wide.
Yeah.
And I got me a nice skillet, and I seasoned it overnight, and I put it in the oven, nice and low fire. I took this. Everybody just took this and just ripped it apart like that.
That's how tender it was.
That's how tender it was. And I made for myself because I didn't want no rice, no pasta. So I made for myself. I don't know if you know cassava yuca.
Mm-hmm.
You know
the yuca? Yeah, I love yuca.
I bought a piece of yuca for me, and I made some pasta for them because they love pasta.
Nice. Yeah.
Which I had some tomatoes and onions in the meat for them, you know.
I love yuca. It's one of my favorites. What would be your spirit food? Like, what food?
I think you know it too.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just going to go ahead. I mean, okay, we can go with a cut. Are we going to say porterhouse? Or are we going to...
Mine is porterhouse. Also, I love ribeye, but mine is really. I love all our steaks.
All our steaks are
amazing. And you can't go wrong whatever you choose.
Yeah.
But again, I think for eating for such a long time, and like, I always try different cuts. But once you go back to the porterhouse, also because we slice it, and the juice makes it so much better. A lot of steak they don't slice their beef, and it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Understand, because once it cooks, you put just a little bit of butter in it, the whole juice kind of gets together, and it's amazing. It's amazing taste.
Yeah, so you serve it already sliced.
Sliced, yes.
Yeah. What was the... When did you decide or discover that was the way you wanted to do that?
That was Luger's. That's the concept we got from there, honestly. They slice their steaks, and it was just for people, when, everybody was going crazy after it, because it's a different taste.
Yeah,
completely.
And last question, what's the greatest lesson you've learned in food? I know that's a heavy question, and you both had very extensive careers in it, but what's a great lesson you've learned?
I always say this to Benjamin, these are my customers also. Treat your customers right. Make sure whatever comes out of the kitchen is right, and it's up to standard. If it's not up to standard, why are you in this business, you know?
Yeah.
And for I say us, because I've been in this with Benjamin for a while, for us to be in business for 12 years, we must be doing something good.
Yeah.
You know, and have 6 restaurants. I think it's like, I think for me it's amazing because, at my age, I keep telling Benjamin this, at my age, I've been to Japan 3 times in my life. I never thought of that.
Yes.
I mean,
14 hours away.
Yes, exactly, And to me, that's like...
14 hours away.
Japan, not once, not twice.
3 times, yeah.
I said, wow, So it's all about continuing doing what we're doing and getting better every day that we do it.
Awesome.
I think you treat food with respect and love it, and make sure it's always clean, maintain it like you treat a restaurant like you treat your home. Your kitchen is always clean, it's proper storage, everything is organized, and once you create that environment and everything else I think just flows in. But place, food is life. It's life. Everybody loves food. You make people happy when you serve food. You make family happy when you serve food. When we work, restaurant business, people used to wait, especially when we have Benjamin's next door, it was crazy busy. People used to wait with, reservation, an hour and a half. People said that, they get angry, of course, because they're hungry. Once you feed them, they go back to normal. So, food makes everybody happy, and that's why it's basically life.
It brings people together.
Exactly. That's why I used to bring Benjamin to come in the kitchen. Listen, this customer been waiting. Make sure everything goes out. Because like you said, they waited, but then when the food, they don't want to be disappointed. When that food gets to them, they don't want to be disappointed.
Yeah.
They don't.
Worth
they
waiting. Don't.
Worth the, yeah, worth yeah, the wait. Yeah. 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 So, well, thank you, guy. I can't thank you enough, but thank you so much for coming on Foodie Films. Right now, I mean, if you'd like to, I guess, just share again the restaurants or just where people can find you, if there's a social media that you want to share. Or...
Absolutely. If you go to BenjaminSteakhouse.com, you will find all our Benjamin Steakhouse. And if you go to SeafireGrill.com, you will find our seafood restaurant. We'd love to have you anytime you're here. Minatsuro, we'll make sure that you're going to have the best time of your life. And we are Midtown Manhattan, so please come and join us.
Really appreciate that, guys. We have a little catchphrase that we end every episode with, so I don't know if you both want to say it or one or the other, but it's actually something that my grandmother always says when she cooks something for us, and that is, there's more to cut. So if you could just say for the listeners that there's more to cut.
There's more to cut.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you such a sweet thing, goodness.